Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel. So we're continuing with the various sins and their punishments. The Braisa says for the sin of delaying or perverting or corrupting judgment or for Bittul Torah, for not learning Torah, the sword and plundering will increase and the land, pestilence and famine will come and there will be a great hunger in the land because the Pasuk says, I will bring a sword to avenge the covenant, to avenge the bris. And we know that bris is talking about Torah, the covenant is talking about Torah. And then the Pasuk talks about a food shortage that will come for corrupting justice. It says all these things come for corrupting justice. For the sin of taking oaths in vain, for taking false oaths, for Chilul Hashem, desecrating Hashem's name, for Chilul Shabbos, violating Shabbos, wild animals will attack, cattle will be decimated, the population will decrease, highways will be deserted, because the Pasuk says, Ve'im Be'elah, through these they were not chastened, then don't read it as Be'elah, through these, rather read it as Be'Allah, through the oaths, that by taking false oaths in vain, the beast will increase. It also says, Chilul by false oaths, and it says, Chilul by Chilul Hashem, and by Chilul Shabbos, so we see that it's the same punishment for all. For the sin of murder, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Hashem left Bnei Yisrael because the Pasuk says, don't contaminate the land in which you dwell and in whose midst I rest. So if you do contaminate it, then you won't dwell in the land and I, Hashem, will leave. For Gilui Arayos, for illicit relations, Avodah Zarah, idol worship, for not keeping the Yovel and Shemitah years on which you can't farm, then exile will come to the world and to Israel and others will dwell in Eretz Yisrael, and we bring Pesukim, the Gemara brings Pesukim for that. For speaking with obscene language, calamities will increase and harsh decrees against Bnei Yisrael will come. Young men will die. Men will die young, and orphans and widows will cry out and will not be answered. And the pasuk for this is, his hand is still outstretched. So what does that mean? His hand is still outstretched. So if Chanan bar Rava explains that this pasuk is referring to that everyone knows what happens after people get married. Everyone knows about the nature of the physical relationship and what's going to come from that. But if you verbalize it and you speak in this obscene language, talking about the physical relationship between a husband and a wife, even if you had a favorable decree of 70 years of good, then they'll reverse it so you have a bad decree of 70 years. Rav Chista says, anyone who perverts his speech, then Gehenim is deepened for him. He has a worse Gehenim. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that just like one who speaks with this obscene language is punished so much, so too the same is true for someone who listened to this person speak obscenely and doesn't say anything about it. Rav Hoshea says, anyone who clears their schedule to sin, he'll get welts and wounds and hydrocone, which is like a swelling stomach and other things. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, hydrocone is an indicator of sin, meaning if you get that disease or that ailment, then that's an indicator that you've sinned. There's a verse that says there are three types of hydrocone. If your skin becomes thick, it's showing that you have sinned. If your skin swells, it's because you just are getting hydrocone from hunger, from not eating. And if your skin becomes thin, it's because you've done the sin of sorcery. Shmuel HaKatan got hydrocone once, and he said to Hashem, Hashem, people are going to think I sinned. You know, I don't want people to start saying that. So he was healed. Abai got hydrocone, and Rava said, no, it's just because he doesn't eat. He got it out of hunger, not for sin. Rava also got hydrocone, but Gemara asks, how could Rava have got it? Rava knew that the way you get hydrocone is by not going to the bathroom. So shouldn't he have been extra careful to go to the bathroom a lot to make sure he didn't get it? And the Gemara answers that because of his obligation to his students, he was investing so much time in his students, he didn't have time to go to the bathroom as much as he should have, and that's how he got hydrocone. There's a verse that says there are four indicators of sin. You get hydrocone for sexual sins, you get jaundice for sinas chinam, baseless hatred, you get scarcity in Torah, you don't know Torah well for being arrogant, and you get diphtheria for speaking lashon hara. There's a verse that says you get diphtheria for not doing Meiser well, if you don't give your Meiser well, you don't tithe well. And Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Yossi says you get diphtheria for Lashon Hara. Rava brings a pasuk for Lashon Hara that the punishment is diphtheria. So we ask, according to Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Yossi, is it only for Lashon Hara that you get diphtheria? Or does he mean even for Lashon Hara you'd get diphtheria and you'd get it for both Lashon Hara and for not giving your Meiser? So we bring in a brisa that someone asked the Rabbanan in Yavne, why does diphtheria start in the intestines and end in the mouth? So Rabbi Yehuda, who was the Gemara notes, who was the first to speak always, said that it's because the kidneys advise, the heart decides, the tongue articulates, and the mouth concludes. So since the mouth is the final in the articulating and the speaking, it is the final one to be punished with Lashon Hara. But Rabbi Yossi says it's because that with your mouth you eat non-kosher, meaning you're eating produce that wasn't properly tithed. We see from here that Rabbi Yossi says it's because you didn't do your Meiser well. Rabbi Shimon says it comes for Bittul Torah, for not learning Torah well. However, like Gemara asks, women are able to get hydrocone and they don't have a mitzvah of Torah. So My answer is because they're mevatel, their husband's Torah, and then we say that non-Jews get hydrochrone, and they're not chayav, they don't have a mitzvah to learn Torah, and they say it's because they are mevatel Jews' Torah. They say young kids get, the Gemara asks, young kids get hydrochrone, and they don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah, and the Gemara answers is because they mevatel their father's Torah. And then we say, well, what about school children? They're able to get it, and they're not being mevatel Torah, because they're learning, and they're old enough that they're probably not, you know, being mevatel their father's Torah, so why do they get it? So Reb Shimon would answer, this is going like Reb Gurion, who says that when there are tzaddikim in a generation, then they suffer to atone for the generation's sins. However, if there are no tzaddikim in the generation, then it's the school children who suffer for the generation's sins. And Rav Yitzchak Bar Ze'iri brings the pasuk that says that kids are collateral for the shepherds, meaning that when there are no tzaddikim, the shepherds, then the school children, the kids are the ones who get punished. But basically, we see from here that Reb Elazar Reb Yossi is saying that it's even for Lashon Hara, because he said that hydrochrome can come from not giving Meiser well. So why did we note that Rabbi Yehuda was the first to speak always? How did he get that honor that he was always the first to speak? So they bring in the story that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai were together with Yehuda ben Gerim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, wow, the Romans are so great. They built markets and bridges and bathhouses, and they're just the greatest. And Rabbi Yossi was silent, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, what are you talking about? The Romans did this all for themselves. The markets were just so they could have harlots there. The bridges were so they could collect tolls. The bathhouses were just to beautify their bodies. And how could you say that? And Yehuda ben Gerim told this story to a few people, and it actually ended up spreading. Yehuda ben Gerim didn't mean for it to spread, but it still spread, and eventually it made its way to the Romans, who were very upset, and they said, Rabbi Yehuda, who elevated us, he shall be elevated, and that's how he became honored with being able to be the first person to speak always. Rabbi Yossi, who was silent, the Romans said, he will be exiled to Tzipori, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who degraded us, he should be executed. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his son, excuse me, Rabbi Elazar, hid in the base medrash where they were learning, and their wife would bring them food and water every day. However, they intensified their search, the Romans trying to find them, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said that to his son, maybe they're going to torture, you know, my wife, your mother, and she'll give up where we are, so let's go hide in a cave. So they went and they hid in a cave, and there was a nace that they got a carob tree and a spring of water so they would have food and drink, and it was created there for them. They took off their clothes and they sat in the sand up to their necks, and they would only put their clothes on when they were davening because they didn't want their clothes to wear out. They wanted them to last as long as possible. So he lived in this cave for 12 years, and then Eliyahu came by and he said, oh, the Caesar has died, his decree has been nullified, you could come out. So they went out and they saw people farming, and there was they couldn't believe it. They said, why are you not learning Torah? So everything they looked at was immediately destroyed. So Baskol, a voice from Shemayim, said, go back into the cave. And they spent another 12 months in the cave, and they said, let's see, Jews only have to be in Gehenim for 12 months, so I think it's okay for us to go out. And another Baskol said, yeah, you could go out. And then Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, everything he looked at was destroyed. However, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what he would look at would then be fixed, because he realized, you know, that there's a time and place for people to learn and a time and place for people to work. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to his son, the world has enough devotion to Torah between the two of us. Let's not hold everyone else to our own standards. And then they saw someone running to bring home two bundles of myrrh on Erev Shabbos on Friday. And they said, why are you doing this? And he said, it's for Kavod Shabbos, because myrrh smells very good. And they said, well, why don't you just bring one? And he said, because the pasuk says, one for Zachor and one for Shomor. So I'm bringing two. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to his son, see, Bnei Yisrael really cherish their mitzvos. And with this, Rabbi Elazar was appeased. Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's son-in-law, heard that they came out, and he went to go greet Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and he brought him to the bathhouse, and he started massaging him, and he cried when he saw all the cracks in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's skin from, you know, sitting in the dirt and being in the cave for so long, and his tears, he started, like, crying, and his tears were stinging Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai because of the salt, and Pinchas ben Yair said, I'm so sad to see you like this, you know, that you had to go through this. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, you're so lucky to have seen me like this, because it's through these 12 years where I just devoted my life to Torah that I got great Torah knowledge. Because originally, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai used to ask a question, and Rav Pinchas ben Yair would bring 12 answers. Now, Rav Pinchas ben Yair would ask a question, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would be able to bring 24 answers. So it was a good thing that I was in this cave for so long. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai now said that since I had a nace occur for me, that I was saved and everything, I want to do something to benefit the community. Just like when Yaakov was saved for Esav and he arrived shalev, intact, which Rav says he was intact in his body, his money, and his Torah. Rav says that he established a new coin for the city. Shmuel said he built a marketplace for the city. And Rabbi Yochanan says he built bathhouses for the city. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, since I had a nace too, I want to benefit the community. So he asked the people in the city, he said, is there anything that needs fixing that I could do? And they said, well, there is this place and we're not sure if it's tameh from a dead body or not, and it's becoming really hard for the Kohanim because it's a main street and the Kohanim don't know if they can walk on it or not, so they have to avoid it, but we're not sure if it really is tameh. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, well, does anyone know if this was ever tahor at one point? So an old man said, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to deal with his truma there, and if he was dealing with his kadosh truma, then his tahor truma, then it must not have been a tameh area then. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai started cutting up fruit, and the corpse that was buried under it rose a little bit in the ground, and they were able to see where the corpse was buried. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that that area where the corpse is tameh, but everything around that is tahor, greatly helping the community. So now this old guy who had volunteered the information about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai dealing with his truma said, oh, look at this. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was made a cemetery tahor, and like kind of mocking him and saying, how could you do that? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, you can't say that. You are with us and you gave us the ability to do this. You agreed with us to do this. You gave us the information. Even harlots help each other. Even though they're competing with each other, they still help each other. So people will say, why don't Talmidei Chachamim respect each other? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai looked at this guy and killed him. And then finally, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was walking through the marketplace one day and he saw Yehuda Ben Gerim, who was the one who spread the story and it eventually reached the ears of the Romans. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, oh, you're still alive? And then he looked at him and this guy dropped dead, Yehuda Ben Gerim. Shkayach.